Welcome to the St. George in the Pines podcast. Today we're reflecting on the realities of war and conflict, but also on the greater truth that we serve a God of love and peace. In this special Remembrance Sunday message, we'll explore how Christ calls us to reconciliation and healing in a broken world. Let's dive into today's message.
The first reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning at the 31st verse. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
On a day like today, where we dedicate time to think of those we've loved and lost, we're invited to think about those in our personal lives that we loved and lost. As a country, as a nation, we dedicate time to think of those that have chosen to give their life in the line of duty in defending our country, our way of life. And today we also think of people losing their lives in the Middle East or in the Ukraine. These are the conflicts that make it to our papers. Of course, there's much conflict and life and loss all around the world. And today, we're meant to hold that as best we can. And the question, the natural question, has to be, when will this all end? How will it all end? And that's a pertinent question. Every week, we have a weekly Bible study. We gather every Tuesday at 4:30 here in the upper hall. And usually what we do is that we read the readings for the coming Sunday. So this past Tuesday, we read these readings, and we're reflecting on the theme of today. And we asked, as a group, how do we bring world peace? That was the question. And I asked the group to imagine you have the power, you have the capacity to bring about world peace. How would you do it? Now, I know that at some level that could be a silly question because it's so fantastical, but it's worth thinking through. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you had God-like power in this moment to bring about world peace, how would you do it? And various, on our Tuesday meeting, various strategies were put forward. Some were incredible. Some were to the effect of, well, maybe the world just needs a reset on humanity. Maybe we just start from scratch. I'm trying to put it in as nicely as possible, but that's basically killing everybody, and let's start again. Notably, if you're a Christian, you understand that's kind of happened already with the story of Noah and the ark, and yet we've come here. So I'm not sure that strategy would work, but that is a strategy others would put forward. Well, why don't we have something like Bronze Age warfare? Instead of having armies in the millions kill each other, why don't we have just world leaders go in some kind of boxing ring or in some arena and they fight out? And then whoever wins that battle, I guess, wins the prize, the world. What if we just stop participating in the systems that oppress us? No more taxes, no more. We all just stop. If we all stop together, everything stops. And right now you're thinking, I've asked you this question, you're also thinking, well, what would I do? And we think practically, maybe. Maybe even philosophically, how would we do it? Now, what I want to invite you to consider this morning is, I know that for us this is a hypothetical. In the end, the silly question ends up kind of bitter, like ashes in the mouth, because we know we don't have the power to snap our fingers and bring peace. We have to confront the day-to-day, where those wars that we know about continue to rage. We continue to age. They're dying, we're dying. We live in a world and a culture of death, and we can't escape. So I know that to ask you to think, well, how do you solve peace and death? Yeah, I know it's silly. Here's the point. You and I don't have the power to do this. In a very real way, we're limited. None of us individually can go out there and say, peace. We can't. Notably, though, there's a God who can do that. And that God, of all the strategies that God could have employed to bring about world peace, he chose a very specific one. God did not develop some new philosophy. He didn't raise armies to plunder the world into a new era of utopia. God came to us and was born as one of us. He wasn't born in the halls of power. He wasn't born in an affluent family, ready-made to be the next philosopher, the next sage. He was born in a very poor family, in a conquered people, in a manger. The definitive act of world peace is something that you and I, no human, would ever have thought about. Ever. That's where God makes world peace. And I've been thinking about that. And now you're going to be thinking about it, I hope. Because God, in his word today, we heard it in the book of Jeremiah. God promises that one day there'll be a new promise. And he's going to write for all the problems that the world has, not only at large, but in our lives, says God says, one day I'm going to heal your hearts. And my word will be written in your heart. In other words, your heart will be shaped like my heart. And the world will be transformed. And that promise has begun to flower with the birth of Jesus and is now growing in this world. And the only question that you and I have to answer is, are we participating in that promise of God to bring peace? It's happening. Because only God can do it. Of all the reasons why I think God was born in the way that he was born, in a conquered people, in a nothing village, in a manger, that whole narrative of God being born among us is the loudest way that God could say, your strategies for fixing this world and addressing, fixing your life cannot work. You don't think like I think. You can't think like a peacemaker. You can't think like a person who's made of love, who is love. Your Euclidean mind can't hold it. Because you'd never choose to be born the way I was born. You'd never choose my life. And if you had my life, you wouldn't give it for others, because he proves that, because when he came to us and he took on our shape and took our life, we killed him on a cross. So today, a day like today, really can only have lasting value if we recognize and remember how limited we are as individuals, as a species, that salvation for our people, our human race, our life doesn't come from within, it comes from without. That's worth remembering. No politics, no philosophy, no ideology, no self-help book, no amount of meditation or going up and down mountains in nature. None of that has lasting power to transform your life unless first your life is found in the only one who can reverse death, Jesus Christ. That's it, and that's always ever been it. And human history, in a certain way, is incredibly boring. It's so dull. The history is there are some oppressors and the oppressed. And if the narrative plays itself out, the oppressed then fight off the oppressors, and the oppressed then have a victory, and then what happens? Then the oppressed become the oppressors. There's new victims, new oppressed, and they, the oppressors and the oppressed, and then they fight up and they rise up, and then the oppressors are down, and then they become a new class. And if you read history, it's just that. Because humanity really only has one idea, one strategy. Power and selfishness for ourselves. I have a great power for myself at your expense, and it plays itself out. And that's all we've been doing. And that's all we're going to continue to do. Accept Jesus. So my friend, in a very real way, I don't know what's going on in your life, and you don't know mine. God is inviting you to participate in the peace that he's bringing to this world. And he is. They murdered Jesus 2,000 years ago. And today, his followers, it's the greatest spiritual movement that the world's ever seen. God is bringing his peace. Yes, there's still a lot of work to do. But it can only have lasting value if we're anchored in the life and love of God. Will you choose it? The question that Jesus asked Martha has been asked today. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall not die but shall live. Do you believe it? My hope and prayer today is that you answer the way she did. Yes, I believe. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, Lord, we thank you that in this history that we've woven of misery and death, you have not abandoned us and you have not given up hope. You have come as one of us and you have shared your life and you've shared your love with us, God. And even when we killed you, that wasn't the end. You rose to new life and you invite us to be in a relationship with you, to be healed by you. God, I pray for every person in this room. I don't know their story, but you do. I pray that anything in our lives that is preventing us from coming to you in repentance and faith, anything that's stopping us from being healed by you, I pray that you would remove it and that you would help us to be healed. I pray that the nations would turn to you, God. We long for the day where you will set all wrong things right. Help us to see that day, God, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the St. George in the Pines podcast. As we reflect on today's message, may we be reminded of Christ's call to be peacemakers in our daily lives, bringing his love and hope into a world that needs it so deeply. Be sure to subscribe and join us next time.